lives. Lord, I just pray that we would follow you wherever you will have us to go. Just be with Rick now as he brings your message to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good evening. That's about a 50%. Good evening.
Good evening.
There we go. It is good to be with you all tonight. My son pointed out to me before we headed to Pastor Andy's for supper that there were tornado, was it watches? So if a tornado hits us tonight, we'll all just go to be with the Lord one big happy time together. Amen. I don't know if, I'm not really worried about that tonight. I am glad to have my family with me tonight. And I know for my family and for those of you in the congregation, it's our first time of my family being here. So I'm going to introduce my family before we get started. So maybe... I know they'd like to come up and sing a song and introduce themselves, but I'm not going to let them do that tonight. Maybe if y'all just stand instead. So we'll start over here. My wife, Renita. And if all you young men can stand. And my daughter, Renita. And then Ravon's our oldest. And then Riley and Ramont and Reed. And then Rodney on the end. Reggie, Rylan, and Rondell. So we're glad to be with you all. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? As I was pondering last night, as I'm driving home, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share? I began thinking on a salvation message. And I woke up this morning and that's what I was going to share. But then the more and more as I was just talking with the Lord, He took me somewhere else tonight. This isn't going to be a salvation message. When you think about, do you know Jesus? I think every one of us would say, yes, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. And yet, I wonder how many of us struggle to trust Jesus. How many of us have said, you know, I just really have a hard time trusting God right now. Or, you know, how can you believe God is good when you see all this evil happening? You've heard that one, right? You know, how some of us have even said that one. You know, I wonder how we would have done in Joseph's shoes when he was in Egypt. You know, Joseph, and he's not a part of this message this morning. This is just warm-up time here. He was in Egypt, and he had one bad thing happen to him after another, and yet it continually said, the Lord was with him. Potiphar took note. The Lord was with him. He ends up in jail, and the jailer takes note. The Lord was with him. And somehow, Joseph knew the Lord was with him. But if you were thinking about joining Joseph's religion, if you say, you know what, I'd like to have Joseph's God be my God, and you heard his story, or you watched what had happened to him in his life, and you said, you know what, his God is with him, and his brothers lied about him, they were going to kill him, they decided to sell him as a slave, he sold in a foreign country as a slave, lied about, thrown in prison when he did what was right to honor his God, his God's with him, now he's in jail, and he's doing right. And a guy that could help him get out forgets about him once he's out. God's with him. If the whatever God is with Joseph, I don't think I want that God with me, huh? You with me? If anybody could have said, how can God be good when all this evil is happening? Could not have Joseph said that? You know, one of the things that I think we need to understand, and many unbelievers throw this one at Christians. So maybe you don't struggle with this. Maybe this will just help you answering that question. Maybe you have struggled with this with hard times you've had in your life saying, you know, how can God be good when all this evil is going on in the world? all the evil going on in the world is not God's fault. When God created the world, there was not evil in the world. And when it started out in the Garden of Eden, that was how God intended it for it to be. And one day, we're going to get back to how it was intended to be. Are you with me? All the evil in the world today is man's fault because of sin. And you may say, yeah, but this and this happened to my family and it wasn't our fault. It was no sin. But it's a result of sin in the garden. None of it was God's fault. It is not God's heart that men perish. It is not God's heart that men suffer. It is not God's heart that there's all the wars and the strife and so on in the world. It's because of sin that we have the problems we do today in the world. And yet sometimes today we say, oh, I have a hard time trusting God. Why do we have a hard time trusting God? How can God be good? Well, why do we question the goodness of God? I wonder if our relationship tonight with Jesus is kind of like the relationship that my boys and I have with the Iowa Hawkeye basketball team. And I grew up in Iowa, and in Iowa, everybody likes the Hawkeyes because there's no professional sports there, and so you cheer for the University of Iowa, and I grew up real near Iowa City, and so I used to grow up listening to some of their games, and we were hoping to go skiing while we're back here and start checking into that. It's really spendy, and my boys had never been to a college basketball game, and here I was playing Penn State. I said, we could see your Iowa Hawkeyes play Penn State. So we decided we're going to do that instead of skiing. Some of you would say it's a bad trade-off. It was warmer in the arena than it would have been on the hill. Anyways, so we went to that game. When we got there early, and they were warming up. And it was interesting how many of these players out there my boys and I recognized. You know, we'd say, oh, you know, there's Jared Utoff, and there's Mike Gazelle, and there's Peter Jock. We knew these guys' names. We saw their faces, and, you know, we could pick them out. We knew them. And yet, really, we knew nothing about them. We knew they could play basketball. We've seen their pictures on the internet. But we know nothing about their character. We know nothing about, you know, are these friendly guys? Are these guys with bad attitudes? You know, would they smile at us if they knew we were there to cheer them and they're way out here in Penn State with, you know, a hostile place to be? You know, what kind of guys are they? We had no clue of the character of these guys. Did we know them? Oh, we could say, yeah, we know who it is. That's who it is. I wonder how many of us tonight have that kind of relationship with Jesus. We say, oh yeah, I know Jesus. But do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? If you and I know Jesus, why would we have a hard time trusting him? If you and I know Jesus tonight, why would we question his goodness? Scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I'm going to leave you with this tonight. I'm going to give it to you at the beginning, and we're going to end up here. This is going to be our invitation tonight at the end. In fact, Pastor Randy started out our first night with this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In the Gospel of John, 7 times, Jesus gave us a picture to help us understand who he is. It helps us understand his character. It helps us understand who he is, what he does. And I like pictures. That helps us out. 7 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the... And then he gives us 7 of these. And just to make sure that you're with me, the church is not supposed to be any type of a show. It's not one person just... that's involved in the rest are just there. This is to be interacting, okay? Most of the time you're listening, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond to me. So I'm going to ask you before we get rolling, what are the seven I Ams that we have in John? How many can you name for me tonight? What's one? Let me hear from somebody.
I am the way.
I am the way. And there's two more that go right with that one. I am the way. Truth and the life. Yes, there we go. I am the way, the truth, and life. Another one. I'm sorry? I am the bread of life. Yes, that's another one. I'm the resurrection. There's one that goes right with that one. Resurrection and the life. At the same time, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Yes, another one.
The vine.
I'm the vine. Yes, I think we're at four. I'm the good shepherd. Yes. I am the door. Yes. I think we need one more.
I'm the light of the world.
There we go. And each one of these gives us a picture of who Jesus is. So what I'm going to do tonight, and this may be a note taker's nightmare because we've got seven different places where we're going. Let's start out with John chapter 6. So turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. We're going to look at the first I Am. We're going to go through in John 6, John 8, John 10. There's two of them in John 10, one in John 11, one in John 14, and one in John 15. And then we'll dismiss at 5:30 so you can go on to work and, you know, whatever. John chapter 6. We're going to start in at verse 28. John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And this is amazing, verse 29. This is what Jesus' response was. What do we need to do the works of God? And you know what he says? This, verse 29, Jesus answered unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. You want to do something for God tonight? Just believe on Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Believe in him. Trust in him. Follow him. Believe that Jesus is who God said he is. Believe in him whom he has sent. Verse 30. Then they said unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world, giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. There's your first I am that Jesus uses. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. They were saying, you know, if you're really Jesus, you got to do for us what Moses did. They were followers of Moses. They believed in Moses. As for Jesus, this guy, we know where he comes from. We're not big on him. Moses fed us manna from heaven. So now you got to do something. Jesus said, hold it. Moses didn't feed you manna. That was from God. And furthermore, God's going to give you a bread which where you eat, you're never going to hunger or thirst anymore. They said, give us this bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. We as people are thirsty souls. Are you satisfied tonight? Or are you still searching? You're still hungry. You're still thirsting for something that you know is out there and you haven't got it yet. Now I know there's such a thing as continuing to thirst and hunger for righteousness. But have you been satisfied in your soul with Jesus Christ? Or are you feeding and drinking from somewhere else and it's leaving you empty? You don't know Jesus tonight if you're not satisfied, if you're not filled. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What does bread do? What does bread do? It satisfies hunger. It fills. It sustains life. You could live off of bread. It's a good picture for us. It fulfills, it sustains life, it satisfies hunger. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Is Jesus your bread of life tonight? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Let's go on down to John chapter 8. We'll go to the second I am. In John chapter 8, then spake Jesus, and we're going to go John chapter 8, we're going to go right to the verse here. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you have Jesus Christ tonight, you walk in light, you're not walking in darkness. You know your way. If you're here tonight and you've got confidence in life, you've got confidence where you're headed, you've got confidence in how you're supposed to live your life, where you're supposed to give it to, it's because you have Jesus Christ and you're following Him. It is not your life. You've laid down your life, you follow Jesus Christ, and you can do that with confidence. I loved what our brother said about faith. There's our brother. His quote on faith tonight. You know, some people have talked about a step of faith. And sometimes you're praying about a decision. You say, what does God want me to do? And you're not sure. And you know, does God want me to do this or do this? And they're both really good things. And then people say, well, you just got to take a step of faith. Insinuating that a step of faith is just making a decision without knowing which one is right. That's not a step of faith. A step of faith is saying, yes, Lord, before you know what you're saying yes to. Because Jesus Christ is a shepherd. He leads his sheep and sheep follow. They say, yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. I will follow you. And we walk in light. That's not scary for us because we're following light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Light reveals. When we come into church tonight, we turn on the light. If the lights were to go out, we would have a hard time finding our way out of here. Light reveals. Light dispels darkness. When everyone is gone tonight, the janitor or the deacon or whoever closes down this church is not going to find a dark switch and turn it on. They will simply turn off the light. And immediately, darkness comes. When we came into the church tonight, all they had to do is find the light switch, turn it on, and then find the dark switch and turn that one off so we don't have both at the same time because that really gets kind of... No. You don't need anything to make the darkness come. You just turn off the light. We get that picture. If we were to make this place dark and it was daylight, on Sunday morning, if you wanted to darken it, we could pull all the shades. And we could probably get it somewhat dark, but light is going to seep in somewhere, and light is stronger than darkness. You with me? Isn't that so true spiritually? Light is stronger than darkness. When you have Jesus Christ, you have light. When you do not have Jesus, you do not have to say, I'm going to choose darkness. You reject Jesus, you have darkness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Light reveals, light dispels darkness. Light is stronger than darkness. And by the way, this is a side note. This is a whole great mission message we're not going to go into tonight. But of the seven I Ams, this one here is the only one that gets transferred to us. Did you know that in the next chapter of Scripture, in John chapter 9, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world? What did Jesus do? He left. Who's the light? You are the light of the world. City that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That I am got transferred to us. We are to take the light of Jesus Christ to the world. When God wanted to get his work done here on earth, he chose to use people. He's not coming back to do it himself. He's not sending his son back again to do the work. That's our job. It's not the five missionary families that you've sent out or however many. That's all of our job, to take light to this dark world. Let's go on. John chapter 10. We have the next I am. Again, as we look at light, are you walking in light tonight? If you know Jesus, you have light. John chapter 10, let's start with verse 1. And we're going to go down through the first 10 verses here. So John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1 through 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Let's just give you a little background on this. So if you can picture a sheepfold, and I picture this as having a rock wall that was, you know, fairly high enough to keep out danger, and yet if a thief or robber wanted to get in, they wouldn't come in the door. They would, you know, sneak in another way. That's why he says that's where the thieves and robbers come. But the shepherd entered in by the door. Now, back in these times in history, one sheepfold contained more than one shepherd's sheep. Why does every shepherd need his own sheepfold? So you would have several shepherds who would lead their sheep into the same fold, and there they'd be protected at night. So if you had two, if you had three, or however many shepherds, and their sheep were all in this fold, and let's just say one of your shepherds was an early riser. I think just like we are today, I got one young man that asked me almost every morning if he can get up. And there are quite a few mornings when I say, no, it's too early. You got to stay in bed. I've got a few other sons that I need to remind them it's time to get up. And they would like to stay in bed longer. We're different. And I'm convinced that when you got shepherds together, you probably had some of those that would just pray, son, come up. I want to get up. I want to get out there. And the next guy would say, you know, it's noontime. Please let me sleep, you know, a little longer. Anyways, so you have several shepherds, and this would happen. So when the one shepherd would go out, he would call his sheep. The sheep knew the voice of their shepherd, and that shepherd's sheep would follow them out. The other two, three shepherds there, they didn't want their sheep going out, especially the guy that sleeps till noon. And his sheep probably stood there and bad and waited for him finally to get up because they would get out of the green pasture. The sheep know their shepherd. That's the picture that he's painting here. The shepherd calls their sheep by name. They know his voice and they follow him. When he put it forth, verse 4, he put it forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And, we got to stop here a little bit. Brothers and sisters, we have got to know the voice of our good shepherd. We've got to know the voice of Jesus, because there's a whole lot of strange voices out there today that are claiming to be voices of shepherds. How well do you know Jesus tonight? Do you just know him when you see, oh yeah, there's a cross that represents Jesus, so that's who it is? Or do you know him? Do you know his voice well enough that you can discern when this is the voice of the shepherd leading you? Or this is the voice that, no, this is not of God. We've got to know Jesus. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Then verse 9. Here's our next I am. I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus says, I am the door. That gives us a picture of an entryway. You want to get into the sanctuary tonight? I believe everybody came from right back there from that door. You want it in? That's how you got in. You want into the kingdom of God? It's through Jesus Christ. He's the door. If you don't come in through him, you can't get in. He's the only way. Anytime there's a person, there's a church, there's a denomination, there's a whatever that says you've got to be a part of us to get into God's kingdom, you know they're claiming to be a door or the door. Don't follow that, because only Jesus Christ is the door. We enter in through Jesus Christ. He is the door. A door allows entrance. You must come through the door. A door keeps out danger. Jesus Christ is the door. We come in by him. Let's keep going in John chapter 10. Right on to the next verse, he says the next I am. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. There he restates it in verse 14. And know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and again, I've said there's only one I am that transfers to us. Some of you have been called to be shepherds, but you're not the good shepherd. We are shepherds under the good shepherd. We have a good shepherd. Brothers and sisters, tonight, if you say, I have a hard time trusting God and what He's doing in my life, He's a good shepherd. He is a shepherd that lays down His life for the sheep. He's a shepherd that knows you, that calls you by name, that invites you to come and to receive rest and strength. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? He's a shepherd that leads His sheep. Are you wrestling in life with decisions? Say, I don't know what to do. I just wish somebody would show me. How about following the shepherd? How about following the shepherd? How about saying, Lord, whatever You want me to do in this situation, whatever decision You want me to make, I will do it. Can we do that? Can we do that? And as I interact with Christians, young people and elderly people, we say we have a hard time with surrender. And I think all of us can identify with that. We look at things in our life, oh, we want to keep this for ourselves and so on. We have a hard time with surrender. But then I stop and say this, why do I have a hard time with surrender? Do I not know who am I surrendering to? Why would I want to keep my life as my own? Why would I want to call the shots and the decisions in my life when I don't know what is ahead? I don't know what's coming up in the future. But I have a good shepherd who wants to lead me. I have a good shepherd who knows what lies ahead. I don't know what lies ahead. And yet, too often, I want to tell God what I'm going to do next. You know how you and I look at our life? We look at our life, and let's just make this front of this whole church here like a timeline. So if over here at this door would represent our birth, over here at this wall would represent our death. So if the tornado was going to get us all tonight, then we'd be right over here. It's not going to. So we'll make this my own. I am 42 years old, so I'd like to think I'm halfway. Okay? I kind of feel like I'm back here. Realistically, I'm probably, if I live to be 70, which is kind of average, I'm about right here. Now, I don't know. I could be right here. I might have 5 years till I die. I don't know. When I look back at my life, I can look back from where I am today, back to the beginning, and I can see the things that God has taken me through, and I can be grateful for how God has led and how God has worked. And I can see now, wow, I understand, God, why You said no to me in doing this and took me here, and why You had me go here. And one of the exciting things is look back in your life and see how God led and took you places. And you're like, wow, I had no dream. You know, I never dreamed ever of living in Thailand. I dreamed of growing up singing with the Gospel Echoes. And hey, that's pretty unselfish. Go sing to prisoners, play guitar, and sing in churches. And yeah, that's what I wanted to do. After I graduated from high school and went to SMBI, I was going to join the Gospel Echoes. That was my dream. And then God changed my plans. I told you the first night how my principal talked to me about pride. God knew that as an 18, 19-year-old young man, I could not handle being on stage every night and singing for people. You're not ready for that, Rick. And He didn't let me do it. My application was in. Gospel Echoes called me. I could have joined a team. But for some reason, and I look back now, it was God turning my heart. I wanted to go a little sooner with a different team. Not sure about this. And then my girlfriend and I, who's now my wife, were talking. She said, you know what? My dad came home from the school board and said that if they don't get a teacher, if it's next year, they're going to shut down the school. I'm like, huh, maybe I should teach school. That was kind of the introduction to 8 years of teaching. What God did was took me to northern Minnesota, put me in the basement of a church, gave me 12 students as a 19-year-old young man and said, here, be faithful here. Not letting me be on stage, not letting me do what I had dreamed of doing. I had no idea that 8 years of working with children and their parents was preparing me to be a missionary pastor in Grenada. And I had no idea that God was having me in Grenada, not just for then, but preparing me to train others how to live cross-culturally and to do the work what we've been doing in Thailand for the past 9 years. I didn't know all of that. But the Good Shepherd did. And praise God, in spite of me not knowing these things, He led well. And as I look back, I can see these things now. I can say, wow. But as I look ahead, I think I have an idea what God may have us do. But I don't know for sure. And I don't know where my end will be. Neither do you. As you look into your future, you don't know. So why would any one of us want to tell God our next move? Why would we not say, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to serve, whatever vocation you want me to have, I'll do it. Do we know the Good Shepherd? Do we follow the Good Shepherd? May we say, well, I have a hard time trusting the Good Shepherd. Well, I can understand your problem with trusting the Good Shepherd if he was like the neighbor boy that I had in Grenada. They used to come by and want to borrow basketball because they liked to play basketball. They knew I liked to play basketball when I was in Grenada there. So I would loan them my basketball. My basketball would come back home maybe 3 days later, and it was like wore down to threads. It was bad. And I'm like, bummer, I'm going to have to get a new basketball. So I get a new basketball, and a few days later, Pastor Rick, we want to borrow the basketball. Lend the basketball. Okay, I give him the basketball. You know, good missionary pastor, you give him your basketball. The thing would they would use and abuse that thing hard for several days, and pretty soon it comes back bald. I thought, there's got to be a better way to do this. So I came with this really brilliant plan. Next time we came back to the States, I could buy a $5 Walmart basketball that would sell for about $20 down there. Now, actually, it was 50 EC, but if you use it in U.S. dollars, $5 ball here was worth four times as much down there. And I thought, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring back about four or five of these basketballs, and I'm going to stop lending basketballs, and I'll just sell them to them. And if they want to use and abuse it, go for it. I will give them a good deal. So first time, neighbor boy came back, Pastor Rick, we're going to lend a basketball? I said, watch me. I ain't had no basketball to lend, but I got one you can buy for your own. Ooh. How much? I said, $20. Wow. Because they know in town it's going to cost them $50. They can get a ball from the pastor for $20. Yeah, man, I'll take it right now. Watch, I needed $20. Oh, Pastor Rick, I ain't had the money. I check you Friday. I give you money on Friday. I trust him, no problem. I give him the basketball. He takes the basketball, and I thought, this is good. I don't have to worry. They can use and abuse that thing. I'm not going to get it back. I don't need it back. It's theirs. Good deal. Friday came. No neighbor boy, no basketball. Well, you know, it's his anyways. I'm not worried about it. Next day, when I saw him, I said, hey, where's the $20? Oh, Pastor Rick, I ain't get my check on Friday. Next Friday, when I take my check, I get you the money. Okay, no problem, no problem. Next Friday came. I didn't see him. So I'm watching for him. It took me several days to start tracking him down. Hey, where the money for the basketball? Oh, my mother, she needed money for her groceries, so I didn't get the money. But watch, Friday, I get you the money. You know, how many times does this go on? I can't count. And finally, I realize I'm not going to get the money. And I knew then I cannot trust this guy. And my system of giving them basketballs to buy, I need the money, then I give you the ball. And it kind of ruined my trust in these neighborhood boys, right? I can understand when you have a problem trusting somebody who doesn't do what they have said. But our Good Shepherd has always done what he has promised. Why can't we trust him? Why can't we trust him? What he has said, he does. In fact, we're going to get into another I am. I am the way, the truth, the truth. What he has said is true. What he has said will happen. God is not a man that he can lie. What he has said will happen. If God has promised it, if God has said, I will lead my sheep, he will lead you. If God has said, I'm taking you into this and I'm going to protect you through this, he will. You can trust God. I am the Good Shepherd. A good shepherd cares for his sheep. A good shepherd protects his sheep. He leads his sheep. He knows his sheep. He's known by his sheep. I see one of the problems today is the lack of people's confidence in their ability to know the voice of God. Why is that? Why is that? How confident are you in knowing the voice of God? Maybe it's a reaction to those who adamantly claim, God spoke to me, and you see the fruit of their life, and you say, there's no way God spoke to him. And I know there's a lot of that in the world. And we're going to talk a message on that later on this week. But do you know Jesus well enough that you know his voice? And you can say, this is of God. He's known by his sheep. Our good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Let's go to John chapter 11. Let's turn a page in the Bible to John chapter 11. This is a story of Lazarus being raised to life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. This is our fifth I am. We will make sure we get you out of here in time for work. I am the resurrection and the life. When Jesus came, and we're going to read a little bit and we'll tell a little bit of this story. John 11:17. Then Jesus came and he had found that Lazarus had been laying in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you have been here, my brother had not died. Is that not a statement of faith? If you showed up on time, he would still be alive. That's faith in Jesus. And yet, they didn't know Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Jesus said unto her, I'm sorry, but then Martha said, verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha didn't get it. Her response was this, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Shall never die. You see, life is connection. Death is separation. And if you're here tonight and you have spiritual life, you've been born again, you have life with God, you have eternal life, and your spirit will never die. Jesus said, eternal life is this, and this is life eternal, that they know me, thy true Son, whom thou hast, and the Father whom hast sent me. Eternal life is knowing God. And when is that going to end? Our bodies are going to die, but our connection with God, it's only going to get better after the physical death. We already are experiencing life, which is connection with God. Sin brings separation, separates us from God. Life is connection. I'm the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Death would symbolize this, the separation of the spirit from the body here. Verse, let's continue on. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe you this. She said unto him, verse 27, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She didn't fully answer his question. You believe I'm the resurrection and life? I believe you're Jesus Christ, which should come into the world. When she so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the master's come and call for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Who said that before? Her sister Martha. Same thing. This was their belief. If Jesus had showed up on time, Lazarus would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? How could Jesus weep when he knows in a few moments he's going to call Lazarus to come out? How could he weep? Is he weeping just to identify with them? Possibly. Jesus does that. Is he weeping because Lazarus is dead? No, because Lazarus is coming back. You know, I believe why he wept. He wept because of their unbelief. They did not believe that Jesus had power over death. And Jesus had been so long with them, and those who were closest to Jesus didn't think that he was stronger than death. If you would have showed up on time, our brother would not have died. It's hopeless. And it was hopeless with Jesus there. Brothers and sisters, it's not hopeless when Jesus shows up. Jesus wept. They didn't believe. I wonder how many times Jesus weeps with you and I, for you and I, because we say it's hopeless. Jesus, if you would have showed up and answered my prayer whenever, I wouldn't be in this situation. If you would have showed up and you would have done this, it would be better off. It's not hopeless when Jesus Christ is there. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? We're just going to skip to the end of the story. Jesus calls out Lazarus with a loud voice. It was clear that this was no secret, no magic going on. Lazarus, come forth. He came forth after being dead 4 days. And he said, loose him, let him go. I am the resurrection and the life. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has power over death as the resurrection and the life. He brings life where there was death. And as long as there is life within somebody, there's spiritual, there's hope for them spiritually. Jesus can bring life where there was death. Life is connection to God. Life is connection to each other. We have connection with each other as believers because of Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the next one. John 14:6. Jesus is telling them that he's going to leave, and this is not good news for them. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to leave you, but I'm preparing a place for you. I'm going to come back to get you. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you go. So how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's our sixth I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If somebody's preaching any other way than Jesus Christ, they're not preaching the way. Because Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. The way, the truth, and the life. The way. He showed us how to get to where we need to go. He is the way. We follow in his footsteps. We do as he has done. When God wanted to communicate with man, what did he do? He wrapped up his message in a human flesh and sent it to dwell among us so we could see this is how to do it. The way leads where we want to go. It's the right path to the Father and eternal life. The truth is reality. Truth is what really is. Now, if you would have asked me, do I think it's going to rain today? And I'd say, no, I don't think it's going to rain. I think it's going to be sunny. Well, today it's rainy. You know, I could say, well, I've had enough rain. I'm ready for sunshine. In fact, I just believe that it's sunshiny. Doesn't matter. You know, today we make so much out of our belief and out of our convictions that we have placed that on a higher priority than on truth. And we say, you know what? If I don't have a conviction for something, then I don't have to do it. If I don't believe it's this way, then that's fine. You know what? Truth is truth. It's reality. It's what it really is. And what we need to do is align our beliefs with truth. Jesus Christ is truth. It's reality. It's what really is. The truth has always been truth. It never changes. The truth never lies. The truth never deceives. The truth never fails. The truth does not change. Now, we need to be changed as we encounter truth, as God works in our lives. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Life is connection. Life is hope. Along with what he says, resurrection life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That is Jesus Christ tonight. Let's go to one more passage of scripture real quickly. John chapter 15. And in this passage, right away, Jesus says this. I am the vine. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you expect, except you abide in me. Isn't this a beautiful picture? I don't know if you can, a picture that I get, it'll be like a grapevine. Growing up as a young man, we had grapes at our place. You have the main vine, and then the branches were connected to it, and the fruit was shown on these branches. As long as the branches were connected to the vine, you got fruit. The branch's job is to stay connected. And when Jesus tells here, he says, I'm the vine. Your job, your focus is to be connected to the vine. Unfortunately, today, we try hard to bear fruit instead of staying connected. The truth is, of ourselves, we can bear no fruit. Oh, we can maybe put on a show and do some works, but the truth will reveal if it's really of God. But if you and I focus on Jesus Christ, stay connected to him, Fruit will be, we will bear fruit. Our focus needs to be on staying connected to the vine. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide, you're going to bear fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's a picture Jesus is. As a vine brings life to the branches. Do you get life from Jesus Christ tonight? Or do you, are you kind of good on your own? You've kind of figured out the Christian life and you can handle it without staying connected to Jesus. That's a sad state to be in. The vine brings life to the branches. The vine is connection between believers. It enables believers to bear fruit. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Tonight, if Jesus is your bread of life, as he says, I am the bread of life, you're satisfied. He satisfies the hungry soul. He fills, he sustains life. Do you know Jesus? Jesus is light. Are you walking in light tonight? Or are you walking in uncertainty, unclarity? Jesus is the door. He allows entrance to the kingdom. He keeps out danger. Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for his sheep. He protects them. He calls them. He leads them. He lays down his life. Is that who you see Jesus as tonight, as the good shepherd? I have a hard time trusting God. That needs to really bother us, because Jesus is a good shepherd who never ran off like a hireling, like false shepherds. Your good shepherd tonight will not desert you. He will not lead you to places where you do not need to go. Yes, he may lead you into difficulties, but it's only to purge you, to cleanse you, and he's going to bring you through it. Your good shepherd will be with you through those difficult times. Somehow Joseph understood that in Egypt. Do you know Jesus as a good shepherd tonight? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say this tonight? I'm satisfied and filled. I'm not hungry because of Jesus. Or is there something else that you're trying to fill yourself on? Can you say I'm satisfied in life because I have Jesus? Can you say I'm living life with confidence because I'm walking in the light as I've submitted, laid down my life to Jesus Christ? I follow him. I walk in the light of Jesus Christ because I have Jesus. I have light. Can you say I have peace in my heart because you know Jesus as the door? You are not performing to get into the kingdom. You have a righteous-based performance, not a performance-based righteousness. You are into the kingdom because of Jesus Christ, not because of anything that you have done. And anything you do is because of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know Jesus as the door, and so you have peace because I'm saved because of who Jesus is. And I'm going to follow him and I'm going to honor him. I don't need to perform to get his favor. I'm his child. And I will do what he wants because I love him. It's not I'm striving to please God. In all other religions, it is always man reaching out to God. Their works-based religion, you study any false religion, and it's man trying to please God, and no other religion offers assurance of their salvation. You study religions. It's always man striving to make the move to God in hoping that they have done enough good that whenever they stand before God, their good will outweigh the bad. In Christianity, the God that you and I say we have a hard time believing he's good, or we have a hard time trusting him, that God made the move first. Even when we were dead in sins, he sent Jesus Christ. He reached out to man. He made a way. It's the will of God that none perish, but that all come to repentance. God sent his son Jesus first. Christianity stands alone from any other religion in that it's God reaching to man. And as he reached first out to us, we have assurance as we know him. And as we enter in through the door, as we receive eternal life, we can know we're saved. All of Scripture says it's absolute, it's sure. We can know And so a fitting word for salvation is rest. We find rest for our souls. It talks about in Hebrews, rest, because we're right with God. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Is there rest in your heart tonight? Or is your life so busy that Jesus is just a face you recognize, but you don't see Him as the Good Shepherd? You don't see Him as life. He's not satisfying your needs like bread. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Are you walking in light tonight? You have the life of Jesus in you. And you can walk in confidence. You can walk in peace. You're not striving to please God. You're His child. So there's that rest. Do you know Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. You are such a good God. Father, for some reason, even we as your children struggle to believe you're always good. We struggle to trust you. And yet, God, you have never lied. You have always been faithful. You've invited us to come, taste of you, to come, find rest. Father, I pray tonight, if someone's here that's really striving, if there's someone here that says, I don't have that rest. Yeah, I know Jesus, and yet I'm struggling to trust Him. I'm struggling to say, yes, I don't see Him as a good shepherd. Father, I just pray that you would reveal to him, to her, whoever they are tonight, who you really are as bread, as life, as a good shepherd, as a door, as resurrection life, as the way, the truth, and life, as the vine. Oh, Father, I pray that we would get a true picture of who you really are. And that we could walk in that rest. I thank you, God, that you've never been too busy for any of us to come. I thank you that tonight the invitation is there. Come. If you're heavy, you're weary, come. And I'll give you rest. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give an invitation tonight. It's going to be a little bit different.